Today on Maranatha Radio, Bible teacher Ray Bentley points out marriage is a picture of the Lord Himself.
God's letting us into divine secrets. He's letting us in on something that is marvelous. It's mysterious that God reveals of Himself in this whole deal between men and women in a relationship that likens our relationship to Himself.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Marriage is God's idea. It's His design that one man and one woman would promise to Him that they'll live together as one for the rest of their lives. But today, we'll see there's more involved than companionship and procreation. We'll see marriage is God's colorful painting of our relationship with Him.
Let's open our Bibles to my favorite chapter in all of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. Okay, the title of the message is The Mystery of Marriage. It is a wonderful picture of our relationship between Jesus, who is the heavenly bridegroom, and the church, which is like the bride. By the way, marriage is a religious thing. It is a spiritual thing. God is the originator of it. The world has not always gone along with it. In fact, when Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus 2,000 years ago, marriage was a lot different than it is today. Now, as it is today, at least until recently, the idea has predominantly been captured of the idea of a Christian marriage. But now there are those who want to change it and want to make additions to it and so forth. But now, what we are here looking at is, what did God intend? What is it that God designed from the very beginning? And I think that, here I have in your notes, reparenting within the church, the new birth into a spiritual family. Jesus describes becoming a Christian as a new birth. You are born again. And that means that planted into your heart, you get a new heart, a new spirit, and you get a new nature. In fact, the very Spirit, called the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells inside of your body as the temple of the living God. It takes residence inside of you. Now, the strange thing is that there is a process of becoming more and more holy. We are given holiness as a gift. We're made and declared righteous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we're forgiven of everything. And we are declared righteous by God. That's a position that we have. But then there's the practical side, and that is actually a process. The process of now I'm born again, but there's a lot of things I need to unlearn, and there are a lot of things I need to let go of, and in fact, there are certain things from the past I need to die to. And there are now, in place of that, new things, new habits, new patterns, new desires, new life as I begin to walk with the Lord. And that is a process. The biblical word for it is sanctification. And it's basically the process of entering into the holiness that has been given to us positionally in being in Christ. But now I kind of have to walk into it. I have to grow into it and have to accept it. So this spiritual rebirth brings us into a new family and made up of brothers and sisters that cross all racial barriers. They cross all social barriers, all economic barriers. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you now have a multitude of new brothers and new sisters. They are part of your eternal family. And in fact, according to Jesus, He said this spiritual family ultimately takes precedence even over all other family because it's your eternal family. And Jesus said, I want you to love me above all, supremely. And so here we are in this new family. But here's part of the problem. Just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're perfect. There is this process we have to go through. And because of the reality that we didn't come from a perfect environment when we were growing up. Now, let me ask you this question, and I want you to raise your hand and be as honest as you can possibly be. How many of you are willing to honestly admit right here in church before everybody that your parents who raised you were not perfect? Let me see you raise your hand. All right. They're not. And then we who are parents, we're not perfect either. And with those imperfections, we come to Jesus. We come into the family of Jesus with broken bones, with wounds, and with scars. And I'm speaking not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally, mentally. So what does it mean then to come into the family of God? The family of God, the church, and what Paul is seeking to do here in this letter to the Ephesians, and that we are now studying together, is what I maybe would like to call reparenting within the church. It's an opportunity for us to break old habits, old patterns from the past, and establish new patterns, biblical patterns. Now, many of those who were in the church of Ephesus were from the Roman era, the Greek mindset, and it was a very anything-goes loose culture in many respects. It was very, very different to come into a church where it's a Jewish Messiah and there's this rabbi guy named Saul who is teaching us from a book called the Old Testament, or what they would call the Law and the Prophets, and that this is God has actually given to us a way by which we can walk with him and know him. They knew nothing of this. But they knew that there was something missing. They knew that there was a loneliness inside. They knew that there was guilt. They knew that they were empty, and they heard someone preached the gospel to them, like the Apostle Paul, and they said, that's what I'm missing. That's what I need. I need a Savior. I need something that will forgive me of my guilt and that I do things I don't even want to do, but I do them anyway, and I need to be born again. So they become saved. Now Paul is teaching, and the good news is he's not only reparenting that church of Ephesus several thousand years ago in a far more morally loose culture than even we have today. But we see the direction that we're heading, and we're heading more toward that past than we are toward something I think that is healthy. So we have people that come into the body of Christ and they get saved, and now it's like, okay, we need to learn, we need to grow, we need to understand what God's ways are and what God has in mind. And God's purpose is to heal us. The church is where we come into this new family. We have all these brothers and sisters, and God's intention is to heal our brokenness, to heal our wounds, and to make us whole. Now, I want to read with you the passage, and I want you to start with me in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18. He says, "And be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." We talked about how alcohol can be an imitation of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But be filled with the Spirit." We talked about coming under the influence of the Spirit and what he brings tangibly into our lives. And then now, from that verse, Paul begins to describe what it means to be a Spirit-filled believer. First, he says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." But then he continues on, "submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So this is the passage that we're going to look at this morning, and I want to begin with the idea, first of all, of verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. And may I say to you, for you to ever know and experience and enter into God's best and God's design and God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life, you must desire, need, express, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. It is not humanly possible. Now, we have already mentioned that marriage itself is so holy and so sacred that it is likened in this passage to the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, who are going to be married in a ceremony called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb for eternity. Now, you can't elevate a marriage and that kind of relationship between a man and a woman any higher than that. It doesn't get any higher than that. It doesn't get any more holy than that. It doesn't get any more divine than that. It's amazing. And Paul basically goes on in this passage to say, and I don't even fully understand it. The mystery to it is, we don't fully get it yet, but we're headed towards it, and we're going to experience it in heaven. But right now, God's letting us in on the earth into divine secrets. He's letting us in on something that is marvelous. It's mysterious. It is holy. There's something about that God reveals of himself in this whole deal between men and women in a relationship committed to one another that likens our relationship to him himself. So, it's vital that we be filled with the Spirit as couples and as individuals. That is the foundation. And then, verse 21. Here's another foundation for what we're going to share. And I think that, all my brothers and sisters need to look carefully at this. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about wives and submission. But it's important to note that in verse 21, it says submitting to one another. You see that there? It's there, isn't it? It's actually there in the Bible, submitting one to another. So in reality, the foundation of what Paul is now going to share is that both of us submit, but we both submit in different ways. And Paul will define that in a moment. But this is a foundation, it is submission. Now, before we even go further, I want to share with you how I started in my marriage to my lovely wife, Vicky. Vicky and I are now, we have been married for 27 years. That deserves some recognition. And I am not up here as, saying I have it all figured out and I'm the perfect husband and you should be like me. What I am saying is that I am a man who is a sinner, who is now a beloved child of God, who has learned a lot in 27 years, and that I am a lot better now than I was 27 years ago as a man and as a husband and as a father. I have learned and I have grown. So what I need to do is I want you to go with me for a moment and to a little journey in the beginning. We're moving back now 27 years ago. And when I got married to Vicky, Vicky and I lived in a back house of about, 850 square feet. There was this wonderful Hispanic family who were Christians and believers who owned a house up on the street, but they had kind of a deep backyard, and they had this little kind of a one-room house, back house. And so we rented it. And by the way, I got married when I was 20. So it was August that we got married. And in October, so August, September, October, just a couple of months later, I quit my job, my full-time job as a jeweler's apprentice, and went full-time into the ministry and began Calvary Chapel of El Cajon. So I am a pastor, and now I am a husband, and also she became pregnant with our first child, Annie, and now I have a new church, and all of this right here, and plus this new marriage. So now Vicky and I are very different. I discovered that opposites attract. How many of you have discovered that opposites attract? And I thought we were alike on everything. We both like walking, walks on the beach, and we both like, all these things. And then we get married, and I discovered, she's really different. Ooh, Oh, it's warm. Okay, anyway, so to begin with, Vicky comes from a family of 10 kids. She has 9 brothers and sisters. And she has 4 brothers. And the smallest one is 6'4". And the tallest one is 6'11". By the way, is there anybody out here that has 10 kids or more that you came from that? Is there anybody out there? Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Blessings on you. Well, so, and I'll never forget. Now here, I had just started a Bible study in my parents' house that would become the church. And what I had been doing during the summer leading up to getting married was I was mowing lawns. So when her brothers heard, number one, that she wasn't going to the Catholic Church, in their minds, anything other than the Catholic Church, she's in a cult. So what? Their first question, well, what does he do? Well, right, he's clipping lawns right now. Oh, so they're ready to get in a plane and come. So I decided, hey, you know, I need to go out and meet your family, see if I'm going to live and survive. So we fly out there, and I'll never forget meeting them, and they're checking me out, and they're, you know, they don't like me, and I'm weird, and from California, and some pastor of this cult or whatever. And so I remember coming in and sitting down, their furniture was huge. I remember my arms were up here, my feet didn't touch the floor. I was like, gosh, I'm trying to make an impression. So, but anyway, eventually I won them over. So here Vicky and I are, and we're in our little 800 square foot deal. And then I'll never forget, I was still struggling, trying to figure out our roles. And, you know, so I said to Vicky, I said, don't, you know, you're pushing me. I don't want to do this. Don't make me do this. She goes, what are you talking about? Because we're having an argument. She, you know, says, what are you saying? And I said, honey, I didn't want to do this, but I have to do it. I'm a pastor. So I pulled it out. The Ace of Spades. You must submit to me because I'm the head. The Bible says. Okay, guys, how many know that was wrong move? She looks at me and she goes, without skipping a beat, well, maybe you are the head. But if you're the head, I'm the neck. And I'll turn you any which way that I want to. Now, we had some things we had to work out. Anyway, so now some of you know that my son-in-law, Sean, and my daughter, Annie, lived with us for several years. I'll never forget, Sean and Annie were in our family room, and they're having a discussion, and it's getting more heated. A little bit kind of joking, but kind of serious, and they're going back and forth, and so I'm watching this and, you know, kind of enjoying it, really. And then I see Sean, and he goes, Annie, and you can see he's losing. He is losing. He's dying. And so he finally says, Annie, don't make me do it. And I'm thinking, Sean... It was too late. Annie, you gotta submit to me. You gotta be like the bride. You gotta submit to me. I was like, ugh. So then Annie, being the daughter of my wife, looks at Sean and says, all right, so I'm like the bride, I gotta submit. Then you be like Jesus. Die, die, die. So they had some things to work out. I think we all have things we got to work out. Now, I've got in your notes here, prodigal husbands and wives. In many ways, I love this story. This is our story. This is all of our story. We're all prodigals. We've all run away from home in one sense or another, and we all get lost. And we all find at some point that we've wasted time. We've wasted our lives. We've wasted our resources. We've wasted our money. We've made stupid choices. We didn't listen. We had to find out for ourselves. And so off we go. And then we run out of money. We come to the end. We're like the prodigal. We're here he is. And again, you know, this poor Jewish kid ends up in a pig farm. So he's in pagan land, and he's in the mud with the pigs. And that's kind of the life he has been living. It's a great metaphor for his life. We've all been there and done that. And then he wakes up one day and he goes, you know what? Man, I was a proud young rascal and told my dad, you know, I didn't need him and home, and I wanted to make my own way, my own life, and off I went. He goes, well, look at me now. You know what? My dad treats his servants better than the way I'm living. I'll go home. Maybe if I humble myself. And I say, hey, Dad, look, I know I've shamed you, the family. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. I'm not even asking to come back as a son. But if you'll just let me be one of your servants, that'd be a few steps up for me. So he's rehearsing in his mind what he'll say. And as you know the story, the father sees the son in the distance and runs to greet him. He doesn't yell at him. He doesn't lecture him. He doesn't give him, I told you. He starts giving orders. All right, we're having a party tonight. I want you to get the band. We're going to have dancing. I want you to kill the fatted calf. Hey, bring that new robe. I want to put a coat around my son. And the father is there singing, rejoicing, and dancing. That's all he cares about. My son came home. And in many ways, that's what God is seeking to do in the midst of this sea of chaos and confusion and hurt within the world. Because people have said, no, we don't want to do what God wants. We can do it better. We'll do it our own way. Well, so we live in the world we live in. But there are some who get off the path and say, no, I don't want that anymore. They're not the majority, but they are a significant number who say, no, I am at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of this. I'm ready to come home. And they come home and they humble themselves. And this is a picture of submission. I want you to look at it, both my brothers and my sisters, because God has called both of us to submit.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out how submission is a part of our lives, whether we're married or single, male or female. Good insight today from chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's The Mystery of Marriage, Part 1, and we can send it your way for just $7. Again, the title, The Mystery of Marriage, Part 1. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 1-800-821-2727 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.